Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. I'm here to help.
Welcome back, Doug. You've been traveling for weeks.
Traveling or sick, yes.
Weeks and weeks. I'm thrilled that you're back in Colorado.
It's good to be back.
Later in the show, I'm going to ask you if these three news stories, they involve an iguana and a burger joint that doesn't serve chocolate ice cream and fireflies. Which of these three news stories involve marijuana? I'll ask you that later.
Okay.
And then we've got a former pope.
Wait a minute. Are the iguanas and the fireflies, are they related in any way?
These are all separate stories.
Okay.
Then we have a former pope who listens to Bob and Yurt Live, apparently.
Okay. Well, that narrows it down. Yeah.
Of the former pope. Well, this is one who's not in hell. This is a former pope.
Well, wait a second.
Who's not in hell.
I'm not even going to get into what you're implying there.
But it is good that he apparently listens. You know, we're on the internet.
All right, that's right. All over.
Yeah.
All over. That's right.
So, and he's affirmed what we've been saying on the air for decades now about the root cause of the Catholic priest molestation scandal. And when we said it for all these years, I grew up an altar boy and all that. When we said it for all these years, Roman Catholics would get angry.
Yes.
And now it's in writing from the former pope who hasn't died yet.
Yes. which is why he's not. Never mind. We'll just move on from that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it should have been fairly obvious from the get-go, but it's nice to see the pope acknowledging the facts.
Yeah.
You know the truth.
It's nice. About what went wrong in the seminaries in the 1960s.
So we'll get to that.
So I know you brought some news.
I want to start in Sri Lanka. Because the terrorist attack
terrible.
There.
Horrific.
The terrorist attack there. In fact, some Democrat politicians have denounced the attacks on Easter worshipers, they called them.
Mm.
Not Christians. Oh. Easter worshipers.
Yeah, right.
You know, they were worshipping bunnies and eggs there in the church. Yeah. Anyway, I have a quote here from a father in Sri Lanka. He was interviewed after the terrorist attack. And he said his kids have been watching it all on TV and they're very scared. And this father says that his children are asking questions such as, where is God? That's the question that his children ask.
Doug, that's tragic because it shows that they're not teaching who God is, what God has done. There's such an ignorance. If a child asks, where is God, when something terrible happens, what would you think? How would you assess the child's family?
If it was my child, I would think I've failed as a father, or I've at least fallen short.
Yes. If a congregation asks, when a horrific thing happens, and terrible things happen all the time.
Yes.
It's constant. It's relentless.
Yeah.
And it's naive to think a terrible thing happens only when you happen to see a headline, because it's constant.
Really? When you think about it, you're right.
And when you look at the human race, evil is constantly wreaking havoc and causing just incalculable suffering.
Yeah.
So if a pastor's congregation says, where was God, then he has failed.
Indeed.
Or fallen short.
At least fallen short.
And what if your audience says, where is God? Then the talk show host has fallen short.
Indeed. Indeed.
So God was where he was when his son was being crucified on the cross, which is the most horrific thing that's ever happened in the history of mankind. Mm. And God has given us the ability to love, and the ability to love requires the ability to hate. You can't have one without the other. You can't be able to love if you don't have the ability to hate, because love must be freely given. Mm. So this isn't a play that somebody wrote. This is real. Our human experience is real, and either we're rebelling against Jesus Christ, or we're submitting to him, humbly submitting to him. And so that explains the history of the world. And God is calling all men to trust in Jesus Christ, but because of pride and a lack of humility, the vast majority refuse.
Well spoken. So for all of you out there who are wondering where was God when this particular instance happened, well, that's why Bob and Yurt Live is on the air. We're actually here to help.
Well,
you're here to help people understand and comprehend.
Hey, Doug, so these churches get attacked. I wonder in the past 5 years, 10 years, whatever, since 9/11, you know, how many churches in the past 5 years, make it easy, have been attacked by white supremacists versus Muslims?
Well, I would say fewer than were attacked in Sri Lanka over the weekend.
How many lethal terrorist attacks have there been since 9/11 committed by Muslims? Say versus white supremacists, right? White supremacists have, you know, a handful of attacks.
I suppose.
Which is horrific.
Yeah, they're bad. Yeah. We don't like them. We don't like white supremacists.
But at kgov.com/terrorism, 34,896 lethal terrorist attacks since 9/11. Yep. Almost 35,000. And the media will focus on white supremacists, which they should be focused on, and there should be a full frontal assault against them, and it's despicable.
Well, I think there was a full frontal assault against them, like, in the 1860s. I just don't know that it's a pressing issue.
Well, compared to...
yeah,
compared to the media being complicit in looking the other way at the massive crisis within Islam... It can't be a fringe movement when you've had 35,000 Muslim terrorist attacks where one or hundreds of people have been killed.
Yeah, that's not
in each
fringe.
Attack.
No, that's pretty significant.
No, right. That's nearly mainstream.
Yeah.
To get 35,000 attacks since 9/11.
Yes, but focusing on Islamic terrorism doesn't gin up strife amongst Democrats and Republicans, which is, I think, how the media makes a lot of money, ginning up strife and grief.
And we've explained why the left has a knee-jerk reaction in defense of Islam, because the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and Islam rejects Jesus Christ. So the fact that they have murdered tens of thousands of people in Islamic terrorist attacks is really pretty insignificant when they would murder Jesus Christ again if they could. That's a very small price to pay to be allies in the rebellion, the long war against God. That's pretty minor. Yeah,
and they're in such rebellion at this point, they wouldn't use the word Christians to describe them. They're Easter worshipers.
Yeah.
It's a sign of their rebellion. That's mostly Protestant or evangelical Democrats, if there is such a thing. But let's go to the Catholics, because you mentioned the Pope.
Yeah.
Now, I mentioned the 1860s. There was also a full frontal attack against white supremacists in the 1960s.
Yeah.
But then again, there was also the sexual revolution of the 1960s, right? You've heard that term.
Yeah. It was the old immorality that just was accepted.
Right. Now you can just do it all openly.
Right.
Right.
Like in Rome and so on. You know, they say that Rome was destroyed from within because of its decadence, its sexual immorality, the grotesque perversion of some of the emperors and all.
Yeah.
And so modern scholarship, put scholarship in quotes, they can't allow that.
Oh, no.
They just can't.
No.
So they've come up with every other possible reason, including aliens, why
aliens?
Rome fell.
Now, I hadn't heard the aliens. I heard the whole lead pipes theory.
I just made up the aliens part. But anything.
That's coming.
Anything other than.
Right.
Right. Because we have scholars today who smoke pot.
That's right. So. Scholars in quotes.
Yeah.
Right. So the Pope has been listening to Bob Enyart Live, at least the Pope who's not in hell. What do you mean by that?
What do I mean by that?
What do you mean by that? How could you infer that
Benedict
Pope
is not in hell?
Now,
remember John Paul, he died, and right before he died, he couldn't speak, and he motioned for his tablet, and he wrote in Latin, totus tuus, totally yours. And I thought, you know, maybe I misjudged this guy.
Yeah.
He's dying, and like your dying declaration, God, I'm totally yours. That's really touching. It's moving. And then I realized it was his life slogan to Mary.
To Mary?
And it was just devastating. Could you imagine how grieved Mary is?
Mm-hmm.
How the Catholic who focuses on Mary, they say that she's the Alpha and Omega of the Church. Have you heard that?
Yeah, that's pretty creepy.
Last time I heard that was this past
very
week.
Very strange.
This past week. That
and Mary's alive in heaven right now.
Right.
Yeah.
And she undoubtedly grieves when, you know, the next person comes up.
Yeah.
And they hear the account of all the people who've rejected God because they've turned Mary into an idol and worshipped her.
It is sad.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the child molestation, too. There's that issue.
Yes.
And so Pope Benedict wrote a letter
Yes.
where he actually addressed the issue.
Yeah. And Francis, he would never speak of the molestation scandal and homosexuality in the same breath, let alone the same sentence, the same paragraph, same paper. Never.
I haven't heard that.
Never. No. But Benedict did, and it was released with the approval of the current Pope, Francis, which is confusing.
Yeah.
But the way Drudge reported this, Doug, he said former Pope blames church scandals on 1960s. As though that portion of the orbit of the Earth around the sun, as the sun is moving in its proper motion through the Milky Way, orbiting the Milky Way, like that part of space caused the molestation scandal.
It was that particular time frame.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But obviously, the Pope is talking about the immorality that became prevalent in the 1960s, but he brought it way further than that. And it's obvious he was listening to BEL.
Really?
Because we've been saying this for years, that it was the widespread homosexuality that was rampant in the Catholic seminaries in the 60s that directly led to the priest molesting boys scandal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in his letter, Pope Benedict actually refers to homosexual clubs being established in seminaries.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Yeah, he writes that. And, you know, these weren't in the seminaries in Africa.
They were probably in San Francisco.
Yeah, in the U.S.
New York, Miami.
In Western Europe.
Western Europe,
especially,
probably first, yeah, right.
Some in South America, undoubtedly. But that's where the seed of this grotesque perversion was planted, and it then bore fruit in the thousands, tens of thousands of kids around the world over a period of 30 years that were molested by priests at some level or another.
Yeah. And so was this common knowledge that they had homosexual clubs in the seminaries?
Yes.
Because I never heard that.
Yes.
And I would assume that if you're running a school to train priests, right?
Yeah.
To teach about God and the Bible, that you probably wouldn't allow that to happen in your school.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want them to have a club like that.
Yeah. I remember talking to a priest in New Jersey, Doug, at Seton Hall Catholic Seminary.
Oh, yeah.
This is in the early to mid-70s, and we are saying that the Bible is God's word. You could trust it. And he said, there's so many contradictions in the Bible.
Oh.
And we said, well, what? Because he didn't believe Genesis, just the whole book. Didn't believe Exodus, just the whole, you know, it's all mythology, he thinks. Even though Jesus affirmed the historicity of those people and the events. So he said, well, look at these contradictions. And he began to quote verses where people were contradicting themselves. And I said, yeah, those people you're quoting, they're the false witnesses against Jesus. He actually quoted the false witnesses against Jesus who couldn't get their story straight.
This is a priest.
This was a priest trying to convince me and a friend of mine, Tony, that the Bible couldn't be trusted because it was filled with contradictions. And so that's where he turned.
That is bizarre.
And we said, well, weren't they the false witnesses? And doesn't the text say that obviously they couldn't even get their story straight because they were making it up?
That was the point of the story.
It was
that part
point
of the story. Yeah.
But that kind of complete distancing oneself from the text.
Yeah.
I found to be common.
And this is a 70s Catholic church.
Yeah. I went to St. Anthony's Grammar School for 8 years. I was an altar boy for years. Used to read the readings. And I went to the rectory where the priest lived and said, look, the Bible says you can know you're going to heaven. Like, no, it doesn't. I said, well, I have these verses right here. They didn't have a Bible in the whole place. The priest went to his room. And he comes out of his bedroom and he said, I thought I had a Bible in there. Let's go to the library. They had a little library. No Bible in the library. We had to go to the church. The big Bible on the altar.
Oh, yeah.
This big, turning the pages with two hands.
Yeah.
And there are all the verses that I had written down. And in the Catholic Bible, they said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. That you could know that you have eternal life by trusting in Jesus Christ.
Wow. And these priests just hadn't stumbled across that in their theological training.
No.
Oh, so I got to thank you, Bob. I'm listening to Leviticus. I think I'm listening to Leviticus. I just finished Isaiah from your Bible study series. I did not realize how central to the whole story of the Bible the Exodus story was.
Oh.
But now I realize it's ubiquitous throughout the whole Bible.
Yes.
God refers to the Exodus story so many times.
Yeah.
It's anyway, it's just an eye-opening revelation to me to know the Bible so much better
now.
Well,
the Ten Commandments, and do not murder, and have no gods before me, and the Passover.
Yeah.
And we could add 30 other significant fundamental teachings of the Bible that you can't understand the New Testament, the Gospels, without Moses.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah.
So true. So I highly recommend the Leviticus series because Leviticus can be a tough book.
Oh, yeah.
It can be difficult.
But boy, did we have fun with the book of Leviticus.
It was a really good study.
In all the instances where God is basically revealing modern science with biology and infectious diseases.
Oh, yeah. Germ theory is phenomenal.
Oh, it's all there, and you have to take somebody, put them in isolation.
Yeah.
You have to clean, wash with water, or depending on what it is, you might have to burn it.
And yeah.
Really,
it's
awesome.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fabulous study that will help you understand the world around you better, right? Because having a biblical worldview, it just helps you understand everything better.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing the Bible, the most influential book ever written.
Yeah, right.
It just helps. Now, will it help us with the story of the iguanas, the chocolate ice cream?
Doug, which of these stories?
The fireflies.
Which of these stories?
I wrote that list down. Yes.
Involve marijuana. A, B,
here we go.
Or C.
All right. What do we got?
Or all of the above. Okay. St. Louis, Missouri, a woman trashed a burger joint because they don't sell chocolate ice cream.
Okay, well, that's kind of annoying that they don't sell chocolate ice cream.
This was 2:30 in the morning. Now, I think it's a light racism thing. My whole life, I hate vanilla ice cream.
Really?
You can't get chocolate ice cream at most joints.
That's true.
In all the joints in all the world.
Yeah, burger joints.
I came into this one and couldn't get chocolate ice cream. And you just can't. You know, if the NAACP would pick up on this, there'd be chocolate ice cream in every restaurant by Monday.
Oh, absolutely.
Next Monday.
They need to work on that. So this lady goes in. Now, chocolate ice cream is generally not available, but she freaks out.
Yeah, it's 2:30 in the morning. She takes a baseball bat, smashes the windows of this Rally's Hamburgers joint, spits on the employees.
Spitting?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's sad what's happened to this woman, what she's done to herself. So the question is, which of these three stories, that's A, involve marijuana, B, is the Ohio guy who used an iguana as a weapon at a Perkins.
It's a weapon.
Yeah.
Weaponized iguana. I haven't heard of that one.
He takes this iguana. Police have arrested this man for disturbing the peace.
Okay.
It might have been the peace of the iguana. I'm not sure. At a Perkins restaurant, he's 49 years old. He removes an iguana from beneath his shirt.
Wait a second.
And begins swinging the reptile over his head. According to the police department, when asked to lower the lizard, imagine, sir, please lower your lizard. This suspect threw the animal at the store manager and fled. The police tracked him down, arrested him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what was the source of his angst? It doesn't really get into it. He had an iguana under his shirt.
Yeah.
And
he was just looking for an opportunity to swing his iguana.
That's right. When someone's packing an iguana.
They charged him with resisting arrest, animal cruelty, disorderly conduct. I mean, the iguana, how do they know animal cruelty? The iguana may have enjoyed this. It's probably the most excitement that iguana has ever had.
Yeah, he got out of his cage.
And then finally, from Pennsylvania, this couple saw these green lasers in the night sky.
Yeah.
And the guy started firing on them.
Well, that's not good.
No, that's not good. He's shooting a .357 Magnum.
Oh, okay.
And it turns out they thought they were aliens that were shooting lasers at them.
Okay.
The couple. But they were fireflies.
All right.
I grew up back east.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're the best.
Oh, fireflies are awesome.
We call them lightning bugs.
Yeah, yeah.
They couldn't be more.
Catch them in a jar. It was awesome.
Squish their abdomen on your fingers and your fingers glow.
It was just fun.
Did you ever do that?
I never squished them.
Okay.
I had a hard time catching them, to be honest with you.
Oh, we would have jars full of like 30, 40.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, they were, it was more sparsely populated in my neighborhood. They were hard to catch.
We had them by the dozens in our yard on just the right summer evenings, you know.
Well, the guy who was shooting the .357 at the lightning bugs?
Yeah.
The cops say that a neighbor says he asked to take a shower to get the goo off him that was burning his skin. So maybe that was fireflies? I don't know.
Okay, so
no, that I would vote number one, the firing of the .357 at the lightning bugs. I would have to say that's my number one.
Number one marijuana involved.
Yeah, that's my number one nominee to have been involved. Number two would be the iguana.
The man uses iguana as a weapon.
Just the fact that he had an iguana under his shirt indicates he's smoking dope. Now the rally's meltdown over the chocolate ice cream.
Yeah.
Since she was spitting on employees, I'm going to rule out marijuana, but
really?
I'm not going to rule out vodka.
Okay. All right. Good point. Or it could be all of the above.
A multiplicity.
But all right, you're saying so B and C.
Yeah, B and C.
B and C.
Are my number one. Number one and number two nominees.
And we weren't going to include. We're going to include another insane story. There's no end of them.
No.
But we weren't going to include this Pennsylvania one about the shooting the fireflies because they were aliens.
Yeah.
Because they said they were high on bath salts.
Bath salts. Oh.
And that's how it's reported. That's the headline.
Yeah.
And you and I talk about this all the time. Headlines are fake news all the time.
Oh, all the time.
Constant fake news.
Designed to mislead.
Matt Drudge makes it worse. Constant fake news on Drudge's his headlines. Constant fake news.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out, you read the story, they say a couple high on suspected bath salts.
Right.
And I remember the Miami cannibal.
That's
who
right.
They said nationwide shocked the country.
Uh-huh.
He attacked this guy on a bridge in Florida and
shoot on his face.
Eat his face.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Eats his face off the guy's head. And they said he's obviously high on bath salts. His girlfriend said, oh, no, he only smokes pot. That's all he does, marijuana. And the media's like, no. So then it turns out they
did the blood test.
And just marijuana.
Just marijuana.
THC. Yeah. So we'll find out.
Well, if there was a way to track this story, we may not be able to circle back on this story until Judgment Day because there's a lot of other things going on, and there may not be the appropriate follow-up. So we may not know
right
away.
So does God do toxicology studies? He doesn't really need to.
It all comes out. All of it.
It all comes out.
It all comes out at the end.
Jesus said the things that are whispered will be shouted.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Now, speaking of fake news, do we have time to do the story on the latest proof of life out in space? Anyway, there's a headline that was linked on Drudge, as a matter of fact, says fossilized bacteria in meteorite from Mars is proof of life.
Very interesting.
According to a study.
Oh, that's in the headline? Proof?
Proof is in the headline. Now, if you read the article down in the sixth paragraph,
right,
it says microscopic filaments inside could point to the presence.
They don't put proof in quotes even.
No.
And this is the headline that's put on there by the media outlet that's reporting the story.
Right.
This is constant. It's ubiquitous. It's fake news on the right and the left and the science news.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, Doug, we have predicted on Bob and Yurt Live and actually Real Science Radio that with all the evidence of biological material in the solar system outside of Earth's biosphere, that we said that there will be more convincing proof still than everything that's already there.
Yeah.
By 2020, just to put a date on it.
That's right around the corner now. You made that prediction five or 6 years ago.
2014, I think,
Yeah.
And so this could be, right?
It could be.
Because the debris in outer space, that meteorite is not from Mars.
Well, wait a second.
It came home.
No. They say right here in the article, they state as a fact, the rock was produced 4 billion years ago on Mars and landed on Earth around 13,000 years ago.
It's funny.
They state that as a fact.
Yeah.
Right in the article.
It is funny.
But no, we think that this meteorite actually came from the Earth
right? During the judgment of the global flood.
Yeah.
And the fountains of the great deep erupting from 60 miles below the crust with such force that debris, water, ice beat up the moon, especially the near side, Mercury, Venus, Mars, and littered the solar system with meteors and asteroids and comets and the TNOs.
Right. which are made of dirt and snow and ice.
Yeah, right? And all the stuff you find on Earth, which bewilder, like rounded boulders.
Yeah.
We know that comets are made of rounded boulders, like 67P. And the European Space Agency stunned to find this big gash in that comet, and they see that it's row after row after row, millions of rounded boulders. And how do you get rounded boulders except by a high-energy flood,
mm-hmm.
which you don't have in outer space as you're forming comets and asteroids?
No, I don't think so.
No, there are no high-energy floods to round off millions. And when you consider all the comets and all the asteroids, trillions of rounded boulders that came up from 60 miles below the crust in that incredibly high-energy flow of the fountains of the Great Deep, as the Bible calls them.
So you're not surprised by any of this?
No.
And it very well may be that these are fossilized remains of some sort of bacteria, but that doesn't mean that life started on Mars. That's just not what it means.
But
I think these headlines are designed to put it in people's mind that we know that there's evidence for life out there. If you see enough headlines over the course of 5 or 10 years and you don't read the stories and you're just generally ignorant, like most people who matriculate in the government schools,
they think, oh, life must have come to us from Mars.
And there's ample evidence.
When you look at the Earth is brimming with life. It's filled with water, and there's a little bit of water out there, and they say, oh, the water must have come from out there to the Earth. Well, why did it all come to the Earth? Why couldn't it go somewhere else? The water that's out there, for the most part, that we see, came from the Earth, and so did the debris that's now these dangerous bullets, really, errant bullets flying around the solar system.
Oh, see, that would indicate they didn't exist before the fall because they're dangerous.
Exactly. And just like the Earth's radioactivity in the crust of the Earth.
Right.
Dangerous.
Right. Good stuff.
Yeah, awesome. So, Doug, Real Science Radio has been really on a tear lately. So many powerful programs. We completed our series. We call it the Heat Series.
I know. I've heard the first one. I've got the others in my podcast app.
So much fun. And even people who are not diehard science fans who want to understand the history of the Earth, people loving it because we're answering the critics of the global flood and the critics of Walt Brown's hydroplate theory of the fountains.
Right.
And we look at their criticisms, 20 separate criticisms, and it turns out that we don't have to make wild assumptions or extend Walt's theory, secondary, tertiary assumptions. The fundamental physics, given his model that the water came up from below the crust, the fundamental physics, the things that are published in textbooks and recreated in the lab, those are the observations that answer the heat critics that say too much heat would have been produced during the flood.
Well, that bodes fairly well for Walt's theory when you don't have to make up new stuff or go find new stuff.
Exactly.
The existing observable data already supports it.
So
I'm not surprised because Walt's theory has stood up that way against criticism for the past 15 years that I've been aware
of. Doug, and we get so many emails from listeners with each new discovery, and they'll email in a link to the discovery, which is so helpful.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll say, hey, another WWB discovery. Another working for Walt Brown. All scientists work for Walt Brown. It's so much fun. Hey, God bless you guys.